You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, pleasure to have you with us. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall here with you for a wonderful week in the world of golf, with the BMW PGA Championship coming up from Wentworth and the Crowne Plaza Invitational from Colonial. But as we always do on the Golf Podcast, a quick reflection on last week's action and a superb win for Rory McIlroy at the Wells Fargo Championship. Mike, a couple of places for the podcast with Gary Woodland and Phil Mickelson doing the business, and a couple of near misses as well. But McIlroy was brilliant all week.
Yeah, well, he was brilliant from Saturday.
Yeah, wasn't it?
That 61 was just unbelievable and ran away with the tournament. Yeah, he just, I think I tweeted the other night, he is the best. For me, he's got great potential, but McIlroy is a level above everyone at the moment. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Whether Spieth is able to catch him, I think he's got a chance, to be fair. He's very talented, but he's just a bit special, Rory. Albeit, we had so many players in the mix. If he hadn't have done that, we'd have had some real interest. You know, we got a couple placed, and Dave with Woodland and Mickelson, and then Ogilvy and Thomas at big prices, just missing out by a shot. Ogilvy double bogeyed the last.
Yeah,
that was, I know, it's a tough hole.
175 to 1.
Yeah, it was that was frustrating. I can imagine.
I was on the radio on Sunday for him playing. I said, "Oh, Mike's going to not like that."
No, I didn't like it. That's a very good description.
James Morrison won the event in Spain. And that's about all we want to say about that, in all honesty.
How did that happen?
Yeah. Let's get stuck into this week then, because a couple of really big events, and we'll start off with the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. This is a quality golf event. It's the European Tour's flagship event, and it's attracted a decent lineup as well for this year's edition, and it's a huge boost for the tournament that Rory McIlroy is back to defend his title. He's 11-4 favourite here with William Hill. Justin Rose is 10-1. Francesco Molinari, Lee Westwood and Luke Donald, all 28-1. Jamie Donaldson is 33s. Martin Keimer is 33-1. Shane Lowry also in the market at 33-1, and it's 40-1 and bigger the remainder. This tournament, Dave, has been able to call Wentworth home on a permanent basis since 1984. A tree-lined golf course that can't really be overpowered. And in recent years, Ernie Els has made significant changes to the venue as well.
Yeah, the 18th being the obvious one. When I watched it for years, Mike would have done the same. You probably weren't born, Dave. But you could have got like eagle finishes, couldn't you?
Yes.
And
yes,
that was always exciting, because there could be this massive swing at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, someone three behind still had some sort of chance. But I think Els didn't want it overpowered. They put this lake in front of the 18th, which they got it wrong to begin with, because the green was too shallow hold a second shot. So everyone ended up just laying up. And, you know, it reduced it to sort of a silly little par three almost, didn't it? Rather than some dramatic hole. But they've tweaked it and it's got better.
Yeah. It's just different, isn't it?
Yeah.
I agree with you. The old finish had an appeal, but I've got used to this now and it's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit of water in front of the 18th.
It's always good,
isn't it? Like you get Torrey Pines or somewhere. It just brings in a three, and it brings in a six and a seven.
Yeah,
and
keeps everyone on a
It's in the past, we've seen experienced players triumph at this venue as well, and those that played the course before have a significant advantage as well here, Mike, in my opinion.
Yeah, massive course for experience of the track, Dave, no doubt about it. There are just some players, more important than anything, some players just don't seem to be suited by it, do they?
Or don't now turn up.
turn up, yeah. Whilst others just like it. It's one of those, there's no particular reason for it, is there? I don't think, not that I can think of, you know. You've got to hit greens in regulation, I guess. That's probably the main stat. But there are players who just never perform here.
Poulter used some weird analogy with Usain Bolt running a marathon.
Yeah, he did. I read that.
A bit weird.
Unlike
still,
him.
Still a 72-hole golf event, isn't it? Not like one played over 7,000 holes. But yeah, so Poulter's not there, doesn't like it. Sergio's not bothered. Stenson's not turned up.
Paul Casey's decided to play in America as well.
Surprised Casey hasn't played, to be honest. But has he given up the European tour?
Yeah, he has. He's given up his European tour membership, hasn't he? So no choice for
because he plays
Paul
quite
Casey.
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
He's won it, hasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a few selections here, haven't we, chaps?
I've got loads.
Yeah, I've got three picks.
I've got three.
And Dave?
Yeah, I've got two. I could probably have about 10, to be honest.
But, stick with two, because that's two. Eight between us.
You kick us
I
off.
I've got some of yours anyway.
Let's hope so. I've just noticed, I think that Dave's got one that I nearly picked at the top of his list.
Okay.
I was peeping there. But I'm going to have a little... I've gone for big prices this week, or relatively big prices. Not stupid big, but... not market leaders. Jost Luiten is my first pick. Jost has been playing in America in recent weeks and was struggling a little bit around the Masters time. He missed three cuts on the trot, but has bounced back well from that with a decent performance in the Heritage. Very nice performance in the match play where he's been lucky not to go further. And then top 50 in the or 51st actually at Sawgrass. I just think that Luiten back on European soil, he's had a week off in between. He'll be encouraged by his stats in America. I don't think he's quite getting the rewards his plays is deserving. And maybe it's because of putting on different greens. I'm hoping a return to European and more familiar greens will help him. He's struggling with his putting a little bit, which is not like him. But he's top 20 for greens in regulation and top 30 for ball striking on the US Tour, which is something he's always been good at in the European Tour as well, something I think you need here. He was 80-1, but Mark had said, came down, peeped at my list, and cut his price this morning to 66, as he likes to do. And therefore, I was slightly irritated by that. But 66, I think, is still a good price for Luiten. I think he's beginning to escalate himself in the game, and he has got at least one good finish here. In 2010, he was 17th, 12th in 2014, surrounding that with some miscuts, to be fair. But the 12th in 2014, last year, encourages me.
I've gone for Jost Luiten as well.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, he's one of my three selections here, Jost Luiten.
Oh, really? I didn't think you'd pick him?
Yeah, I like him a lot.
I wouldn't have said as much about him, but I know you were going to pick him.
No, it's fine. I'll just add a couple of things. You mentioned that...
He's Dutch.
...that mixed record. He's Dutch as well.
Yeah.
He does like tree-line golf courses.
He does.
You can remember when he played well in some of those tracks in Holland.
He'll have listened and played
yeah,
like that,
they're
yeah.
all tree-line golf yeah. courses, so he likes playing at... a tree line golf course, and just in addition to what you were talking about, his ball striking on the US Tour, he was 9th in strokes gained tee to green in the Players Championship. That came on the back of that decent result at the Heritage, so things haven't gone according to plan for him on the PGA Tour. I think he is much more suited to the European game, and I think he'll have a good week. I really do. And got to remember, last year he was in the top five going into the final round.
Yes, he was
here at Wentworth. So I thought 80-1 was outstanding, and 66-1 is still fair.
66-1 is still fair, Dave. You've got to say that he's playing well enough on the stats. It's just maybe the putting could be better in the US. Well, that takes a little bit of time, different greens. Whereas if his game's good enough and he's back on familiar greens, I think he'd go very well this week.
No, I agree. So he's my first selection as well.
Was he your number one pick as
Point
well?
Each way, 66-1. My first two selections were...
Dead heat.
They were dead heating all for right. first. Hopefully that's the way it'll end as well this week.
Okay, Dave, have you picked him?
I haven't, no, but I've picked someone for very similar reasons and a very similar kind of profile that he's got in this event, Bernd Wiesberger.
Yep.
Another guy is brilliant. At the start of the season, he had that run, didn't he, on the Middle East swing where he was 6th in Abu Dhabi, 3rd Qatar, 4th Dubai, went to Malaysia, was runner-up. Brilliant runner form. Then he had a little go on the US Tour. I think he did pretty well, to be honest. He did 31st at the Cadillac. He was top debutant at the Masters, 22nd. 33rd at the Zurich Classic. Not outstanding result, but...
No, but decent.
For a guy going over there, having his first real go. And if you remember, he played really well in the USPGA.
He did.
Back in the last year. Now, he missed the cut of the Players, but we've said this time and time again, who cares when you miss the cut of the Players? But he did actually shoot a 68 in the second round, so that's his last competitive round. So I just think he's better than maybe the market's suggesting. He's 50-1 this week. Then course form, made his last three cuts. He's got a 12th in there. Like I said, very similar to Luiten.
Yeah, Luiten's the same, yeah.
So I just think he's ready to step up and maybe win a biggie, and I think the market's just underrating him a little bit.
Bernd Wiesberger, Dave's headline tip here at 50-1. Mike, your second selection?
My second pick is Brandon Grace. who's been in great form in recent months and is starting to show that form. He struggled in America as well. It's actually, this segues in quite nicely, because when he went over to America, he didn't play very well over the last period. But in recent weeks...
he's got it together, hasn't
he? He's really got it together. Was 30th in Texas, in the Texas Open, should I say. 7th in the Heritage and 9th in the match play. 42nd in the at Sawgrass. So all really decent finishes. There was a... He missed the cut in the Masters in the middle of all of that, but... Grace is a winner. 6 tour wins. Admittedly, most of them have been in South Africa. He's native South Africa. But his greens and regulation stats this year are great. He's 14th on the European Tour for that. He's putting well this year as well, 22nd on the putts and greens and reg in this season. So he's a player that I like a lot when he's in form. And I think he's banging form. Since he started that winning run back at the Alfred Dunhill at the back end of last year. So Brandon Grace it is for me. I think South Africans have a fairly good record here. Not as good as homegrown players, yeah. But South Africans do well here. So Brandon Grace for me at 40s is interesting.
I'll see your South African, Mike, and raise you a South African here with Thomas Akin as mine.
I really nearly did him, Dave.
Did you?
Yeah, ever so close. That's the one I saw on your sheet. When I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, go on. I can see him going very well.
I think he's got the perfect game for this sort of golf course. He's a neat and tidy player, and we've seen those players have success here as well, and Akin certainly of that ilk. And was 10th here on debut back in 2009, 17th in 2010, and finished 7th last year. He's in good form as well. Finished 4th in Mauritius a couple of weeks ago and put 4 solid rounds together in Spain last week en route to that tie for 22nd. And you look at his numbers in Spain last week, he was 9th in driving accuracy, 1st in greens in regulation. Shows how well he's striking the ball. He does need a good week with the putter.
Always.
And
that's his
Achilles heel. And that's probably going to be the determining factor with him this week, because you look at his season stats as well. 4th in driving accuracy and 6th in greens in regulation. I just think he's got the perfect profile for Wentworth. So I'll go with Thomas Akin as my second pick at 66.
Last man off my list he was, Dave.
So he'd be the player you don't want to win, won't he?
Yeah, he probably will be in this event, yeah.
Dave? On Akin, he doesn't quite have that zip and punch at the end. He's a player for me. I think maybe I backed him on these occasions. He'll finish sort of tied 7th, which is all right, but it's no good to you as a punter, is it?
Well, that's one of the reasons I put Grace in front of him. I think he's more of a winner.
Yeah.
No, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. He's a shorter price, to be fair.
He did win on tour last year, didn't he? Thomas Akin, I think.
Yeah,
did he get a win last year on tour?
He won
won in India, and he's won in Spain, didn't he? He won at last week's course that the years back in 2011.
Yes.
But he's a bit of a sort of near misser, top tenner.
Mm. Won the Africa Open, is that what you're saying? Yeah.
So that's a low grade event, isn't it, admittedly?
Last February.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
I can see that.
So I would put quite a few above him.
Yep.
What's your second pick?
My second pick, probably, what price is Akin, by the way?
He's 66.
Yeah, a little bit shorter, my second one. Mark Warren at 50s. He's almost back to this Wiesberg. I've almost like coupled Wiesberg and Warren in my head, because that run on the Middle East, Warren was going sort of blow for those two. Were up there absolutely every week. And Warren's done the same thing. He's gone to America and had a few events, and again he's done okay. He was 17th at the Cadillac, pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, decent event.
35th in the Texas Open. Now in the match play, he absolutely should have. I think, was it against Gary Woodland? He had a putt from nowhere and he missed it, and he could have done really well in that.
Yep,
played quite nicely for a while, but didn't go his way in the end. That's match play. But at Wentworth, he's an absolute beast, isn't he? Because this is a tournament where you look at the top players' records. Even someone like McIlroy has quite a few missed cuts. Now, he's been in the top 30 6 times in the last 7 years. I mean, that's on that course, that's excellent consistency.
Yep.
And obviously, the highlight was that second place in 2013 when he got to a playoff and lost. Again, I think he's on the same career path as Wiesberger and maybe Loughton as well, that you've mentioned. Maybe you thought, oh, is he destined to be a journeyman? But I think he's really kicked on in the last few years, and I think he's got a big one in him. I think this is a really good course for him.
Yeah, Mark Warren.
He's proven 16th as well last year, so Yeah, 50-1. I like it.
It is a good course. Well, we've said this already, but if you've got good course form, it really helps you.
Yeah,
doesn't
I think
it?
So.
Experience is key because
seems
the,
to matter,
the wind can
it?
Play a part because it's almost like a wind tunnel at times, isn't it? And it does swirl. So if you experience there, it does help.
Yeah, knowing what clubs to select and exactly that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've gone for a little bit of a speculative pick as my last one. Aiken was very close, I have to say. Mind you, a bit like DT, there was quite a few that were close this week. It's one of those where there's...
I've got a potential third pick, but I reckon you two might have him.
All right.
Let's see.
I don't know if you... I don't think you'll have the... It'll be this one. I've gone for Marcel CM as my last pick, which is a little bit of a volatile pick, but he was 100-1 the last time I looked. Is that right, Dave?
It is.
2 7th places in the last 3 years here what attract me to Marcel CM based on this course experience thing. Yeah, I think he's a... He's obviously a volatile player, but he loves Wentworth. If he can put a little bit better, a bit like a couple of the other guys we mentioned already, a bit like Aiken, if he can get back to his... He's a good putter at his best, but he hasn't been too good this calendar year. He's been struggling a little bit in America, missed his last two cuts there last time out in the Heritage. But prior to that, was fourth in the Nedbank right at the back end of last year. And that isn't a million miles further on than when he won the another BMW event, the Masters. In the autumn of last year. I think this guy has a lot of ability. 100-1's a big price in this field. He is one of those who could easily miss the cut, don't get me wrong. But on Wentworth form, I'm not thinking that's going to happen. I think he could run a big race this week, back in Europe again. A little bit of a theme so far for this podcast, isn't it, from the US. I think CM definitely could outperform those odds.
Good stuff. Marcel CM is Mike's third selection at 100-1. I'm going to have a little play on Paul Laurie as my final selection at 175-1. Paul Laurie. I just thought it was worth a go. I picked him when he was ill in China, which wasn't the smartest move.
We saw.
You mentioned on the podcast.
We kept finding more illnesses as we clicked, didn't we?
Absolutely.
He's lost a leg, Dave. I'm sticking with him.
He can hop round.
Beware the injured golfer.
He's got over that illness, thankfully, and he played okay in Spain, not outstandingly well, but did strike it brilliantly in that final round, and I thought it was worth a go given his Wentworth form. Lots of experience on the golf course. Second way back in 1996 and second also in 2012. Also got a sixth place finish in 2010, so recent record at Wentworth is pretty good. Admittedly, best days definitely behind him, but he's 175-1, so I'll just take a half a point each way on him at 175-1 as my last selection. And yeah, you're pointing to a guy that just missed out for me. Eddie Pepperell was close.
Right, well, let's make him not miss out and I'll put him in then.
Okay.
Yeah, if you look at the winners of this tournament, or even those who maybe come top two or three, there's a lot of English players in there.
Oh, yeah, there is, yeah.
And they're not just English players, they're from the south of England. You look at Luke Donald,
Simon Kahn, yep.
Paul Casey, David Howells from Swindon, I don't know how near quite.
Ross Fisher.
It's south.
Fisher. Obviously, Justin Rose is another who used to go there as a boy with his sandwiches and his, with his daddy.
Do you have to have been there with your sandwiches?
Got to. You can't feature unless you've taken a packed lunch in the past.
But, so to be honest, I didn't quite know where Eddie Pepperell was from, but I looked and he's from Oxfordshire. So there you go.
Yeah, no, that's definitely.
Can't argue with that.
He's played well here, hasn't he, in his two starts?
Yeah.
So you're going to forgive him only two starts, I suppose. That'd be the one thing against him, wouldn't it? But he's done pretty well the two he's been there.
Yeah, maybe I'm not. He's standing in the game and he's maybe lack of experience at the course. You may be thinking more each way than actual winner.
Yeah.
But what is he, 100-1?
He is.
I think, he pops up every so often, doesn't he? I think he is a big talent. He's played amateur level in big teams, hasn't he, and stuff like that. And I just think he's one who... He fits that profile of other Southern English players. I was kind of looking for one, and then, where's Eddie Pepperell from Oxfordshire? Right, he's in.
Yeah.
And then you check his course form.
Did you check sandwiches.com?
Yeah.
Childhood sandwiches. After gone through all the golf stats, obviously. Yeah. What about the head of the market, then? We've been through our picks. We've got nine selections for this event.
Crikey.
So we better get at least one or two placed. What about Rory McIlroy, 11-4?
I want to take him on. I really, really do. I think that's a terrible price. I think compare that. If you thought last week's was short on a course he absolutely loves, he doesn't love this course at all. It's before he won, he'd missed the cut about three times in the last five years.
It's out of nowhere, that win, really, wasn't it?
He had to come from a mile behind. There was no pressure on him last time.
Conditions might suit this week, though, if the forecast rain arrives and it plays soft.
If you read his transcripts from last year, he said it helped that it was really soft last year. Mm. Now, is it? I don't think it's going to be that rainy from the forecast I saw. I thought,
I don't know.
A bit of rain on a Friday.
He wouldn't like it windy, would he? He doesn't like wind. And he does. That's the key thing.
He kept equating it to sawgrass. He says stuff like, I've got to rein it in. I can't just pull drive. And he kept mentioning sawgrass. Well, sawgrass is somewhere where he'll finish like sixth or eighth. And I think that's what's in store for him this week. Yeah. He's playing so well that you can't see him.
I must admit,
it's very testing schedule as well.
11 to 4, nah.
I wouldn't back him at the price. Yeah, he has. That's a good point. But I wouldn't be as negative on his. He's just so streaky, isn't he, McIlroy? He puts win after win back.
His management, I think on Sky they said, they asked his management team, he's playing 5 weeks in a row, isn't he? Which is his best chance? And they said, Quail Hollow, definitely. That was the one that stood out. That was the one they were really pinpointing.
Yeah.
You know, rather than the European Tour's flagship event, which this is, I just think he got away with it a bit last year.
Yeah, I think you might be right, to be fair, Dave, because he'd never shown a massive liking of the course until last year.
Yeah, yesterday you noticed, Dave, he was doing all that periscope stuff on
Nighttown,
straight off the plane.
Yep.
I just think he might just have a sort of quieter, tied eighth week.
Yeah, I can see that. I'd be more with you, DT there. I think I expect him maybe to top 10, but not to win. Mm. That'd be my kind of view. Roses are too short for me at that price. Shane Lowry was one that I was looking at, but he's 66 to 1 in the early, and he's 33 now.
When he blew it for me last year.
I was on him last year. Hundreds.
Yeah, he was 150s.
Was he that?
Yeah,
he was.
Last year.
Mm. Yeah, last year.
Yeah.
So I couldn't.
Price has gone there. Yeah, 66. Oh, I'd have been very intrigued. In fact, he'd probably been a pick, but had to drop him off. Matteo Manassero, 66-1, just a bit short for him. You want to see a little bit more? He let us down the other week, didn't last week?
He made the cut again. He was in the top 10 for Greens and Reg again.
It wouldn't be a surprise, would it? I've been watching him like a hawk in running.
I mentioned to you a few weeks ago when he played, he missed a couple of really short four-footers, and his putting stroke looked completely different to how it had looked previously when he was
that would be a worry.
In his pomp, because the hallmark of his game was strong putting, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, a good short game on putting,
maybe it's one of these. He's had to work so hard on his long game to get that back to what it
something
was.
Something else has gone.
Yes, that's the thing that's given.
Should be a good event. Rory McIlroy heading the market there at 11-4. We've also got a good event in America with the Crown Plaza Invitational, where Jordan Spieth is the 5-1 favourite, Zach Johnson 14-1, Jimmy Walker is 18s, Paul Casey and Ryan Palmer both 25s, Adam Scott is 28-1, Kevin Na 28-1, Patrick Reed is 28s, and it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. And for the Crown Plaza Invitational, we're at Colonial again, and it's a golf course that I love and one that rewards good ball striking, Dave. In a similar vein to Wentworth, it isn't a golf course that's often overpowered, but it's one that rewards smart shot making.
Yeah, you've had people like Zach Johnson winning there a couple of times. I think it's a sort of very, what's the word I'm looking for? One where different sorts of players can win. It doesn't sort of narrow the field down to one specific type.
Yes.
I'll think of the word in about 10 minutes.
I agree. It's a par 70, measuring 7,204 yards. The fairways are pretty tight. The dog legs plentiful as well. They work both ways. And we've got quite a strong Texas contingent at the top of the betting as well. And last year, if you remember back to last year, I think back to last year, Adam Scott outlasted Jason Duffner in what was a high-quality playoff. Who'd have thought that those two coming back this year would be 28-1 and 66-1 respectively?
Wouldn't touch him with a barge pole.
No, neither of them would you?
No, precisely. It shows you how quickly things can change in the game of golf,
doesn't it? Just
two picks for me, and I'm going to say my most confident pick of the year.
Go on then.
Oh well, you've got to go first then.
Go. Yeah. Oh, I know who this is.
Yeah, not an amazing price, but 25-1, Ryan Palmer.
Well, I thought you were going to pick it? Jimmy Walker.
No. Ryan Palmer.
All right.
He's been a member. This is his local track. He's been a member here since 2010. Mm. If you look at his course form up to 2010, it was kind of, he's made a few cuts, but nothing special. Since then, it said last year, he plays it two or three times a week. It's not just like he's an honorary member.
Is that right?
Paid up. Plays it two or three times a week in the off season when he's not, you know, away at a PGA Tour event. He'll play it a couple of times. And it shows. Last 3 years, fifth last year, 14th the year before with an opening 62, fifth again in 2012. Absolutely, you know, can tear this course apart. Now, the only doubt I would say that people might look at his current form and say, oh, look, he's missed the cut in the Players' Championship, only was, you know, didn't get through very far in the match play. Started well in the Masters, but not great.
He did start well in the Masters.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah. Yep. Tied 33rd. It was not that bad in the Masters, is it?
No, not bad.
So that would be the only slight doubt. Against that, if you troll through the Crown Plaza Invitational Twitter feed, you'll get, and go back 4 days, you'll find someone's put up a post, it says something like, watching Ryan Palmer try to break the course record here.
Right.
And he shot a 61.
Did he really?
28.
Did he?
33 or something like that. Mm. Great record in Texas as well. Last four starts in Texas, 6th, 5th, 22nd, 7th. Just seems to... I read another quote. He feels comfortable over every tee shot. I mean, he knows this. Mm. Sometimes he can get a bit drawn in. Oh, it's his local course, but...
Yeah, he's got a massive chance. The only thing that put me off...
In this case.
Yeah, the only thing that put me off him, Dave, I don't know what you think. I just thought 25s. I was just looking for a bit of a bigger price, but... His chance is very obvious, isn't it, to be fair? He has got a big chance.
Yeah, I think...
He doesn't win as often as you'd like, does he? Maybe not.
Not for a 25-to-1 shot, is what I was trying to say. Mm,
yeah. Mm. I think he places enough, and when I say best bet of the year, I would qualify that best each-way bet.
Right.
I just think he's got...
Boy's backing off a bit now, isn't he?
Got a fantastic chance of making the top five, as he's done twice in the last 3 years, and he's due a win. Let's look at it that way.
Yep. Okay, yeah, I get it completely as well. 25-to-1 Ryan Palmer.
Made me forget I was going to pick myself. I was so intrigued by that.
I was taken in by
that
as well.
Yeah, I've gone for a couple of speculative. Well, one speculative one and one steady Eddie. Kevin Streelman's my premium pick in this event. Played very well last weekend in the Wells Fargo. Missed the cut in the Players, but I'm not holding that against him. On the back of a tied 12th at the Masters where he played ever so well. Good greens in regulation and ball striking guy. Experience and ball striking are critical here.
Yep.
The average age, apparently, of the winner, I was reading on Rob Bolton's piece on PGA Tour since 2001, is 38.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
38?
When you consider all those 20-somethings winning at the moment.
Jordan Spieth might be about to wreck that stat over the next couple of years. But so Streelman would fit some of those criteria. He has missed three of his four cuts here after caution.
Right, Ryan Palmer's 38, I've just checked.
Has he?
Oh. All fits, but doesn't
what
it?
What do you need?
It's all coming into place, isn't it? In 2011, Streelman was 10th. He's missed his last three of the other four cuts around that here. But at 66-1, I think he's in very good form and he's just bubbling under. I'm going to give him a crack.
I'm going with John Sendon.
Gone with him.
Oh, have you?
He's my second pick.
Okay, there you go.
We've been aligned this week.
We have been aligned.
Yeah, unusually.
If I had a third pick, would it be Sendon
as well?
It was just 50s. I wanted... Well,
ticks the boxes, 66, as they say, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does tick the boxes. That's it. You look at him statistically this season, he's not troubling the judge, is he? Because he's been in pretty poor form up until the last couple of weeks. Yeah. There has been significant progress in his last couple of starts, though. Finished tied 5th in the match play, followed that with a tied 8th at the Players, where his putting, interestingly, improved significantly. And historically, he's very strong from tee to green, which is what you need around this venue. Got plenty of experience, and plenty of experience at the track as well, which is needed. 3 top 10s here, including a 5th last year. I thought it was well worth a go at 50-1.
Me too. Yeah. I echo all of that, absolutely.
Yeah, because I was looking into Sendon, I did find a quote where he said he'd had hip trouble at the back end of last year and the early part of this year.
Yep.
Really troubled him. Now he thinks that's fine.
Oh, good.
Did a load of work with his coach around the Masters time.
I've backed enough injured and sick golfers.
Dave got interested when he said he got an injury. Yeah, he was
like
getting
that.
More interested.
I like that.
No, he's. I mean, he's.
And then the other thing, the Aussies win loads of these Texas events, don't
yes,
they?
So they love it, don't they? Yeah.
Scott's the defending
champion.
Probably
more likely to place than win state in the obvious there, but I thought at 50s he was a good entry.
I'm glad you've put him up because I was sort of.
Yeah. Doubled up a bit there, haven't we?
Who's your second selection then, Dave?
Yeah, this is a bit more speculative, and let's make sure he's not gone at all. It's Danny Lee. Yeah, 125's Danny Lee. Now, where do you start with Danny Lee? Obviously, won the US Amateur a long time ago. Maybe you could argue he didn't train on. He did win a European Tour event and was the youngest at the time before Manassero rewrote the record books. But Danny Lee, then he did win on the then Nationwide .com Tour.
Yep.
Where did that win happen? In Texas.
Okay.
He now lives in Dallas as well, so he's got the local sort of angle sewn up. Played this event as a teenager in 09, made the cut, which is a good effort, 46. Played it last year, 38th, not too bad. It means he's had a second look at it. And the thing that sort of drew me in was his just recent form, 22nd in Zurich, missed the cut of the Players, whatever. And then 13th in Wells Fargo last week. So I think he's sort of trending in the right direction. And 125, I mean, he's got a second and a third to his name at this level. I just think he could be a guy who...
Top 10 at Vals Bar and top 20 at Bear Hill, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, so it's not just...
Recently.
That's a decent body of work, isn't it, over the last few months?
No, yeah, that's... He's, 125. He's always looked very capable, hasn't he?
I think one of the things, he used to get really down on himself. I think maybe when you've experienced all that success...
So young.
And the games come easy.
Yeah.
He thought, hang on, why are I winning?
DK's like that. He's had all that success at a young age. Yeah. And now he's stuck with us.
Now he's got a beard and in the wilderness. He used to be, isn't it? When you grow a beard, it looks like you were going through a crisis. Now you think you're a hipster.
Well, yeah. I started growing it when it became less cool. That's the thing. It went out of fashion. And I thought, I'll have a beard now. Now it's completely gone out of fashion. My second selection here, 2013 winner Boo Weekly.
Ooh,
I'm going with
playing
here.
Well, isn't he?
At 66-1, yeah, putting well as well, which he never usually does. But everyone talks about his ball striking, and it's still there. His ball striking, but he's putting better than he usually does. And people talk about this venue, and it's synonymous with good ball striking, isn't it? And he comes into this with that third at Zurich Classic very recently in New Orleans, 16th at Quail Hollow last week. Perfect fit for the venue. I thought it was worth a play at 66 as a winner here. So
yeah.
I'll play him a point each way.
No, fair call, Dave. Fair call. Do you want a couple of nearly went in? I know we're running quite long, aren't we here? But Chris Kirk would have a good chance. I backed him the other week there, and he went ever so close, but very short this week. The two Scottish lads, Knox and Laird, could play well.
Yeah, I'd be gutted if Knox won.
Yeah, they're both they've got the game for here, you know.
Yeah,
and. At a big price, and I might have to have a little save. I mean, David Toms, he's a real veteran who likes it here.
Yep.
He's a veteran.
He won here, didn't he?
He was fifth last year as well.
I know he's hard to follow in. Where's he gone? I would have thought you'd put him up, Mike, to be honest. I know his price is almost half. I would have thought you'd put Ogilvy up at 80s.
Yeah, he's got some decent finishes here, and he played ever so well last week, just until that final hole. Yeah, half the price, I suppose. Yeah, as you said earlier, though, Australians do play quite well in this event, don't they?
He's checking his form. He's got, well, not that.
A couple of top 20s.
Okay. He's got, 19th, 13th, 7th. Not bad.
No, he's got decent form here, I'd say. Above average form at Claudio.
Yeah,
for his
last three results, Ogilvy, 48th Masters, 24th Players, 7th Wells Fargo. It's a real progressive.
Yep.
Form, isn't it?
He just
don't end up kicking yourself.
I know, I might have to have a little save. I mean, flattered to deceive a little bit last week, played ever so well, and just silly little double bogey or a run of two bogey just cost me dear anyway.
precisely. I was thinking of you when it happened, actually. I was thinking, where's Mike? Just before we wrap up, then, what about the chances of Jordan Spieth at the head of the betting at 5-1?
Well, it's in his home state, isn't it? Texas boy.
Couple of good results here.
Yeah, and he's played well in, what's, is it the Byron Nelson? Is that his home one, I think? It's Dallas,
I was
he?
Baiting yeah. DK earlier when I was trying to get a rise out of him by saying that how much better Rory was than Spieth. And no, he didn't even blink.
You know what, I agree with you. I think McIlroy's a better player. I think he'll continue to... he's just got that extra length, hasn't he? He's just got that extra bit of quality.
Better all-round game,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a better player than Jordan Spieth, yeah. McIlroy.
Yeah.
Spieth sort of keeps up by putting, doesn't he? Mm.
Yeah, those two are a bit of a way clear, though, I think, of the rest.
But it would be fascinating if he won, then it's kind of to me.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Well, McIlroy's mentioned in the press, hasn't he, that Spieth's victories...
Spurred him on.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Good for the game.
Spieth could get there. He probably needs to add a little bit of length, but we'll see. I'd say what caught my eye, that the guy who was second in the weekend event, Patrick Rodgers. I'd not really taken much note of him before, but... he looked to have a lot of game to me. There's some good Americans coming through.
Yeah. I mean, if you'd backed him each way, you must have been heartbroken as well, because... He ended up finished tied second. I was thinking betting without the market leader, because he dropped a few shots later.
He did, but he showed some very interesting signs.
We put that up, that market.
Did
up
you?
In running.
Yeah,
on,
I was without McIlroy.
Yeah. That's a good advert for your Sunday night.
Yes,
tune in to Dave on InPlay Radio.
My last mention was back Webb Simpson, because I reckon Rodgers might start to see the check.
Yeah.
And I think Simpson was a decent price, and they dead heated in the
He end. Had that amazing record at Stanford, didn't he, Rodgers, which rivaled Tiger Woods' record when he was there, so definitely looks a prospect.
I have to be honest, I haven't really crossed my radar very much, but I'd heard of him, but he was impressed.
Let's wrap it up then with the selections this week, and we'll start off with the BMW PGA Championship, and we've got three apiece here, Mike.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. What about players we don't want to win? We've talked about them as well.
We've got so many.
Point each way. Loughton, Grace, and CM for me.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way on two of my three picks. A point each way, Joost Loughton, same as Mike at 66. And a point each way, Thomas Aitken at 66, and half a point each way on Paul Laurie at 175-1.
Yeah, point each way on both Wiesberger and Warren at 50s, and half a point each way on Eddie Pepperell at 100s.
Yep. And stateside in Colonial?
I'll have a point each way on these. Streelman and Sendon at 66 and 50.
And I'll have a point each way on Sendon at 50, and a point each way on Boo Weekly at 66.
I need to reflect my confidence. So 2 points each way on Ryan Palmer at 25s, and half a point each way on Danny Lee at 125.
Play you don't want to win then.
Yeah, well, Webb Simpson nearly gave me a lot of pain last week, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
So my player I don't want to win, I'm going to have two. I'm going to have, do you know what, it probably should be Ogilvy or Kirk in this one and Lowry in the other.
The guy that came closest, I think, that I've got written down for the BMW PGA Championship would be Mark Warren, in all honesty. Yeah. So... even though, obviously, I'll be cheering him on for you, Dave. It'd be galling, personally, if he won. Maybe Chris Kirk in the Crown Plaza Invitational. Yeah, I've got him noted down. I nearly
just
went
that
Chris
price
Kirk.
Crash from what he was last week to this.
He's top class, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a good player. He played very well on the Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said I wouldn't want Rory to win last week. I tend to sort of look at the front end for these bets. In a similar fashion, I can't back him at the price, but... if Justin Rose wins at 10s, I'll go,
that'd be
I will
galling.
Make a noise.
Okay, thank you, chaps. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter, at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf, and at M Grenham.
And I will tweet it, because it's a senior PGA this week, and I'll definitely be having a bet in that. Just don't know enough about the course yet, so I've got to do a bit of work on it.
Okay, superb. Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks. Remember, you can download this via iTunes and check us out on audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. And myself, Dave, and Mike will be back again next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.